Take these words, make them your own. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to respond. For we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to show my age here. I don't know why, but it just came to me as I was preparing this sermon. I just floated back in time to when I was young, about 7 or 8. Okay. And I remember a real treat was a Sunday evening, Sunday night at the London Palladium. It was in black and white. It was on ITV. And it was kind of, I'm an economist. It was an early introduction into the market economy. Advertising pays for entertainment. And I started to remember the adverts. What cleans a big, big carpet for less than half a crown? 1001. Name the product. They asked me how I knew it was something. I, of course, replied, with lower grades, one buys, smoke gets in your eyes. That is Esso Blue. That is a brand of paraffin. When I was growing up, paraffin was used to heat homes and carpets were an unheard of luxury. Oh, what an upbringing. But when I was 8, there was this curious advert, and I did ask my mother to explain it, but she wouldn't. And it consisted of a young lady sitting on a train, and two of them talking, and they got a mirror out, and they wrote in the on this sort of vanity mirror, and wrote B-O, and shared it with each other. Okay, and I didn't understand what that was. Not to be too indelicate, but today's passage is about our aroma, our smell. And this passage opens up a splendid example of what it is to be a genuine, true, authentic Christian. Now, let's just give you some context. Paul has found himself in Troas. Troas is a city in Turkey. It's in northwest. It's on the Aegean Sea. It's a port. Lots of people come and go. It is a fantastic opportunity to share the word. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, a door was opened for me in the Lord. Yeah, a fantastic opportunity. A bit like leading this service. A fantastic chance to stand up and open the word to everyone. But we also learn in this passage that Paul mucks up. He forgets to get the Lord's Prayer in at the right time. What is it that prevents him? Well, there's two problems sapping away at him, consuming his intellectual energy. One is a concern for the church in Corinth. Okay? Here's a church he's founded and which is going off the rails. And he's really worried about them. He sent a first letter. He sent it with his trusted friend Titus. And he's going to meet up again. But Titus hasn't arrived. What could have happened to him? What could have befallen him? Now, I'm sure that each and every person in this room feels stress, yeah? And it's come to me that a major cause of stress is feeling an intense personal responsibility for the outcome. It really, really matters. Saving thousands in Troas really, really matters. But having very little control over the outcome. Okay? If you're responsible for something but you can't control the outcome, that is a source of stress. And Paul cannot shut out of his mind his concerns. It's like kryptonite. It robs him of his strength. We get distracted by worries and concerns. And I don't know about you, but they can really beat you down and you can get downcast by failure. Yeah? Letting people down. Now, some of you may know I'm a teacher at a local school, Wood Green, our parish secondary school. Yeah? And without, because I know it's being recorded, wanting to reveal too many trade secrets, but if I get an errant student I want them to reflect on their choices. I keep a straight face and say to them, you've let the school down. Walking home in those bright green orange trainers, you've let the school down. You've let your classmates down. But most of all, you've let yourself down. Okay? But for Paul, having this opportunity to advance the kingdom, I think what really hurts for him is he's not let himself down so much as he's let the Lord down by passing out on this fantastic opportunity. But here's the important point, and it comes in verse 14, and it should shake us out of this mindset. I quote, he himself was feeling, as he says, frustrated and restless. A great sense of failure gripped him. But what he says was actually happening was, despite this, he knew that his ministry did not rest upon his own feeble efforts to do something for God, but on his expectation that God was going to do something through him. And I think that is the key point of this sermon, that we can get downbeaten and browbeaten and think that our efforts are feeble. But that's a really wrong mindset to have, because through what we do, we can expect that God is going to bring about triumph. Okay, and if we turn to verse 14, it says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Now, to appreciate the use of the word triumph in this reading, again, it helps to be old. It helps to have seen some 1950s sword and sandals film, where the victorious Roman general heads up a procession, parades all his captives, taking in a great victory there behind him. That's what's happening for us. Christ is going ahead in triumph. Out of our personal weakness will come a great manifestation of the strength of the Lord and the spreading of the fragrance of Christ. Is it true to say, and I may be being very unfair to some of my fellow Christians, but there is a distorted view of the Christian faith? They think that because they are Christians, become Christians, they are going to be protected and kept from every single pressure and challenge of life because they have faith in the Lord. Nothing nasty, unpleasant is ever going to happen to them. Nothing could be further from the truth. Paul knows from personal experience that it's not a life of effortless, continuous victory, overcoming all obstacles and feeling triumph as you go. It's not that at all. As I get older, I find the teaching becomes harder, not because I don't know my subject as well, but because we get this age gap opening up. Education is one generation's conversation with another. A generation is 20 years. I'm over 60. I look at my class, there's a two-generation gap. Sometimes they just don't get me. I keep telling them, I'm a very funny man. But I decided to do something about this Friday. I'm part-time now, so Friday afternoon, what better way than to connect with youth, to get hip, fab, groovy and trendy, share their context. I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I can strongly recommend this film. It is very, very good. But it came to me halfway through that in that film, no matter how many enemies and forces of the galaxy are pitted against these four heroes, nothing ever happens to them. There's never a scratch. Okay? That is not the Christian life. It's not. We can affect opposition. We can expect opposition, and it's going to hurt. And we're going to sense a fear of failure and inadequacy, but we have to shake out of that mindset. And we have to trust that God always leads ahead in triumph. and uses us in our weakness to bring about his victory. You know, in a way, I didn't really need eventually somebody to explain to me the meaning of that BO on the mirror. Kind of worked it out for myself. You know, as Christians, we leave something everywhere we go. It is the fragrance of Christ. And as we are all called to be Christians, we are called to be out there in the world, leaving a favorable impression on others. Every single time we interact with somebody socially, we leave an impression. Okay? You know, I was quite nervous about this sermon. I don't know why, I just was. You know, who am I, where I am at the moment, to talk to you lot? Who am I? Okay, Martin came up to me at the beginning and said, "Do you know what? Okay, you're so different now. You've got time for me." And you know what? I think back and 20 years ago, I didn't have time for people. I was too busy doing my stuff. Yeah? But the Christian journey is being changed to become more Christ-like, putting down the things which are objectionable and taking up things which just reach out to people. Okay? How do we deal with the people that we meet? Will they remember us as a generous spirit? The person doing that, you know, I love going to Waitrose. Okay, I can't afford it. Poor teachers, you know. But I love going to Waitrose. And it's great seeing people at the tills. Most of them seem to completely ignore the person behind. The person behind doesn't seem to be enjoying their job much either. But there we are. What a difference to just smile, say hello, be pleasant, to show respect. Do come in. Who is equal to the task of being a flawless advocate and ambassador for Christ, leveraging every opportunity with a skill and dexterity to spread the sweet aroma of Christ? Well, not me. Okay? Another thing that really came to me very strongly as I was preparing this sermon, okay, is we're trying to sell our house. Actually, we've sold it. Okay? Bad news, though, I'm still staying in the parish. You can't get rid of me. Yeah? We have a dog. I love my dog, but he, you know, he does like going in the river, and he can smell a bit, and that can put people off when they come into our house. I came up with a solution. It was a tin. It was vanilla fragrance, okay? And where the dog goes, you go, ksht, like that, and for a moment, the doggy smell goes away. Okay? We're not treating the causes. He really needs a bath, but I can't catch him. That just gets rid of the smell forever. But my wife, who is wise and understanding and much more skilled than I, said, that is not the solution. What you need are diffusers. Some people looking perplexed here. A diffuser is a modern, indispensable commodity that you must buy. They come in vanilla flavors, and they're kind of like a jug at the bottom and sticks coming out. Okay? And they soak up that vanilla, and they diffuse it. Wherever the dog goes, it doesn't matter. Okay? Isn't that really... Wouldn't it be great to be like that in our Christian life? We don't have to go ksh, 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 every time we remember, but just be saturated in the Lord, just effortlessly. Now, it will take better people than me to tell you how to get saturated in that sweet fragrance of Christ. Or perhaps actually you don't need to be told, you know already. Okay. It would be unfair to finish the sermon at this point without telling you how the story ends. Paul can't do his stuff because he's worried for his friend Titus. So he has to leave Troas, mission unaccomplished. And he heads off that way, that way, that way. There's many places he could go. He goes that way towards Macedonia. They do not have the benefit of the internet. Can't contact people like that. But lordy, lordy, what a coincidence. He bumps into Titus in Macedonia. Okay? 2 Corinthians 7, 5-6. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest. We were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. Exactly what I've just been saying. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. When we are doing the Lord's work, amazing things will happen. There will be no coincidences.